Good afternoon. Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're in that glorious time of the year, right, Cindy?
Oh, yes. It's so exciting. Yay, grilling outside.
The days that you can survive the humidity and the mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I'm looking at my notes, and one of the things is dealing with insects. And that's not really something I normally have on my notes for the radio show, so that's kind of funny.
You're the one
that said it.
An important note.
You have to.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the idea. So what we're talking about is entertaining outside, cooking outside, being outside in the time of the year that is beautiful to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And accepting.
Which we all love to do.
Accepting that one, you know, horrendous July day or something.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple of months of that coming up. So we thought we'd kind of go through the thought process.
Lay it out for the people.
The last segment of the program, we have an interview with Cindy's mentor.
I'm so excited to talk with him, Marcelo Vasquez.
An Argentine chef.
Yes.
Coming from a culture of cooking everything, including entire animals outside all the time.
Yeah. So. I mean, Marcelo was my chef that I worked for. And when I was in Charleston, South Carolina, his restaurant was called Morton's, named after the man that owned the inn, which was the Vendue Inn. Morton Needle owned the inn, so he had his name on the restaurant. But Marcelo and his wife Penny owned the restaurant actually and operated it. And I did my apprenticeship from culinary school there in 1986, and then upon graduation in 1987, I came back and was a sous chef. So I worked with him for several years, and eventually Hurricane Hugo came through in 1989, and Marcelo and Penny relocated their restaurant from Charleston to Knoxville, Tennessee, and asked me to be their chef. So that was my first chef's position. Marcelo and Penny ran the restaurant, were the restaurateurs, and everything working with him was just an absolutely amazing experience.
Did you guys ever cook any whole steer out on the street?
That's the whole thing. No, not out on the street.
Come on.
But one of the great things.
Can you imagine? I mean, that's.
I will ask Marcelo to talk about it, but he would have employee parties for us, and we were a young group. And one of the first parties, we went out onto one of the islands near Charleston, and I felt like I was in Argentina, quite frankly. And we got there, and he had been there for hours setting up the grill, setting up the fires, starting the pig. And I won't go into it too much.
No,
I want him to talk about it.
You can get him
amazing.
To talk about that sort of stuff. When we get to his interview at the last segment. So let's talk about logistics of outside.
Right. So you're the front of the house guy, and you're so good at this stuff. So I'll ask you. So if you were going to get started, let's say you're doing a party for, a good-sized group, how would you start to organize?
It's different outside, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time people are arriving, whether it's at your home or at a dining room, at a private dining room that you've organized in a restaurant or a club or something like that, or a hotel, it's always the same thing. They come in, they don't know what to do. They do know they're there to eat and drink. If you make those two things obvious and easy for
sure.
them right away,
right.
if the quicker they get a glass of wine or whatever the cocktail of the day is or whatever it is that you have
or
going on,
or beverage,
punch,
just
or,
get them something, just, something to drink.
So once they have something in their hand and they know how to repeat that,
mm-hmm.
and once they begin to know what the steps are with food, it's a funny thing, but as a host, you can't just kind of put things out, and unless you give people a little bit of direction, you're never going to be able to have them follow a pattern that is a successful pattern. That's kind of they'll come in and go exactly the other place that you didn't want them to go to yet.
Okay, so how do you
Or they'll start
them?
On all the food that you... Like,
so how do you get them to do what you want them to do?
I think usually you want to lay out things in stages. Right? You're going to produce things in stages.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, again, whether it's inside or outside, you just have other considerations like temperature and sanitation changes.
That's the
outside.
Biggest problem to me. As a chef, I worry so much about how do you keep everything cold.
And I'm going to bother you for a little bit of sanitation advice.
You betcha.
And that doesn't mean, that's the getting your trash picked up. That means keeping the food safe
right.
To eat outside. Because that's my big, If I'm invited to a barbecue, I'm just terrified. Like, can I eat that? Am I going to
sure,
die?
Right.
You don't want to do that as a host. I would not recommend it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What I always do is think of scenarios. When they first come, what is it you want to happen? You want them to get a glass of rosé, a choice, and limit beverage options. You have a nice non-alcoholic option. You make it very easy to get to. You have a credenza or something outside or a table set up with very easy to find ice and a scoop and a top for the ice bin. You have something laid out with whatever the punch is, let's say, that you have, with a bin with several bottles of cold rosé on ice, with two beers picked out, you know, and all ready to go, and glasses or jars or whatever for that. You know, that's make it like they walk up, boom, that's very easy and doesn't require service. And from there, if they turn around in this, what you want them to see when they turn around is where some food is.
Right.
And if let's say that you're going to serve a total of like eight things, take a few minutes and figure out logistically what are the things they're going to sit out longest, the safest, that are nice to have with, you know, what are the snacks that are basically the things that can sit out with those things for a couple of hours that you don't have to sweat being out there.
And that's the great thing about antipasta, because if you have olives and cheese and, you know, things like cured or smoked meats, those things can sit out for a little while.
As long as they're not in the sun, they're going to be fine.
Right. Well, yeah, and they have to be protected too. I love those. You know, you almost have to have the little netting things.
A little
things.
Cover or a
yeah,
lid.
Yeah, and that's nice to be able to get. You can get those in a lot of different stores.
Yeah, I know that you can, there's a couple of different places to order them online. These great big, almost looks like a top of a tray, like a rectangular something made out of netting.
Okay.
It weighs almost nothing, and you lift it up and you put it down. It's really kind
that's
of
great. Yeah.
Easiest thing to capture a bird with.
You can't.
Also cover your salami.
Like you said, you don't want bugs on your food, obviously, yeah. And you need to protect it. And really, you shouldn't be setting up in the sun. I mean, you need to be on a porch. You need to be under an overhang. I mean, somewhere that's in the shade, under a tree. I don't know, but I mean, you can't be in direct sunlight with your food. That's tough. I mean, maybe you have to be, but.
The other thing you want to figure out when people come in, do you want them to stand? Do you want them to, you know, what is the point of the event? What is the music that you've organized? What is the, are there games? Are there, you know, that I'm imagining it's some kind of a party where it's, you're sort of working off of your porch and there's a lawn, something going on with several games. And do you have some seating alongside of that for people to take a break from that?
Sure.
Or to sit down with a drink and have a conversation?
Yeah.
Do you have a couple of little tables? You know, how much seating do you want for that sort of reception time,
mm-hmm.
and how much do you want that reception to kind of like roll and build into what the rest of the event is? Let's say that you have that reception time and snacks set up, and the next scenario that you have is that you're going to have some kind of a buffet outside.
Right.
You know, the toughest thing with that is figuring out exactly how and when to produce and what quantities of things to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let your crowd kind of build up a little bit.
Right.
And you also have to be strategic about producing things that you have the apparatus to get done. If it's just grilling things and everything else is cold at room temp, it's pretty straightforward.
And the great thing about grilling outside is, you know, you're going right off the grill and hopefully right onto people's plates. They can line up and come over to you, or you can, you know, grill, have a cutting board on the side of your grill or on a table next to your grill. Go ahead and slice it, and people can kind of come up and help themselves, or you can go right onto a platter.
You just want to make it easy for them to mm-hmm. go. If they're going to Grillmaster Cindy, you know, I'm sure you have an apron that says that, right?
No,
don't you? And a special hat that goes with
that? Actually, I don't.
It's like conductor's hat?
Right, no.
So mm-hmm. there you are at the grill with your conductor's hat and your Grillmaster Cindy apron.
Yes.
They come up with their plate and they say, give me meat.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. beautiful tuna that's coming
and
off the grill.
And I have a bowl of chimichurri
or sausages
on the side
or whatever
of my grill
be.
As well. So they can put their chimichurri right on their grill.
But you
want to
make, it easier for them to turn around and go to the table with the big crunchy green salad.
Right.
And
which is a very good thing to have outside, because if you don't put perishable product in there, just a big green salad with, you know, simple vinaigrette or something will sit nicely if it's on ice.
The big bowl of like jardiniera that you made and just put in the fridge. You know, the sort of like a little pickled veg that you always see in Northern Italian cooking. That's mm-hmm. that's fun to have alongside a grilled piece of something.
That's perfect.
You know, any kind of quick pickles.
And you can pre-grill that, as you said, marinate it, pop it in the refrigerator, pull it out at the last moment.
You could have used that grill early on to grill off zucchini slices.
Right.
And lay them out with a little salad of Reggiano and basil and lemon and extra virgin. And boom, you have a little quick scenario of that kind of stuff. They can go right from Grillmaster Cindy to pick up the other things to their plate, whatever sauce. Grillmaster, what kind of sauce would you prepare for that flank steak, let's say?
Chimichurri, okay. For sure. So Marcelo can tell us all about that in the next segment.
What I should do is ask you for your chimichurri recipe and then ask him for his when he comes
on. I'm interested to hear what he says now, because I haven't worked for him for a long time, and I'm curious to see if he still makes his chimichurri the way he did. We'll talk about chimichurri for sure.
So, but there's any number of cold sauces or room temperature sauces you might have out for something.
And honestly,
like
I love extra virgin olive oil on a piece of meat. I mean, I often do that at home. If I come home, if I go home from work and I'm hungry, I might throw a steak on my grill, and I'll eat just a tiny little bit of it and save it for the next day. And hopefully I have olives, because I really like olives with beef. It's just, and lamb for that matter.
The crazy high tech thing that I taught my dad to do and to love with a piece of beef in particular coming out, or lamb coming off the grill, is to take really good olive oil, like one of the big Tuscan oils or big Sicilian oils. And first with a mortar and pestle or even just on a cutting board, to mash up a whole lot of rosemary and put that in a bowl, and then grind that a little bit with that fresh oil and a little bit of coarse sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that oil on the, let that
perfect.
Steep for a while. And forget the big pieces of rosemary, but put that oil on the steak. He's definitely addicted to that.
I was grilling out last weekend with a friend of mine in Frederick. He's a priest. His name is Hector. And he is from Colombia. And he was making, oh my gosh, I forget what they're called, but he takes cornmeal from his country and mixes it with water and just a little bit of salt.
Tostones.
That's not what he called it.
No?
No, I cannot.
Venezuela, the tostones.
No, that's not what he, well, anyway, so, but he just makes a little, like, pancake out of them, and he puts them directly on the grill. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. They are so good. It's the simplest thing in the world. I cannot.
Maybe arepa?
Yes, that's it. That's it, arepa. And and he, you know, it's going to get black marks on it. I mean, it goes directly on a clean, oiled-down grill, mm-hmm. and it's the greatest, like, he made the best guacamole. And, you know, we've got all these grilled vegetables. So we go in the house, and I brought lamb. So I brought lamb tenderloins and marinated it with the pomegranate molasses marinade, which is another, like, amazing thing to marinate lamb with. I don't think I'd marinate it with anything else. But the pomegranate molasses from Iran, you just mix it with a little bit of corn oil to loosen it up a little bit, because it's pretty thick. And you can either pre-marinate.
A little sweet.
It is sweet. Oh, definitely. It's molasses. It's sweet. And in the form of that, it's very sweet. But you add salt and pepper. And you can, if it's a small piece of lamb, something that's going to cook quickly, you can pre-marinate it. Or if it's a bigger piece of lamb, it will burn because of the sugar content. So if you don't like that, you definitely want to just brush it with that marinade as it comes off the grill. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. But he and I did that. And we just had this whole table full of all kinds of fun food. We made small bits of everything. There were only three of us eating, and we had a ball. And I brought fresh buffalo milk mozzarella, and we grilled zucchini for that and had a good olive oil for it, and I put a little bit of saffron in that olive oil. So I mean, there's just so many things you can do, and all this stuff is super healthy. It's easy. It doesn't have to be hard.
No, I mean, that's simple food beautifully done, that if you make it easy for people to get to things, mm-hmm. I think that's make it very intuitive and easy for people to get fed. I mean, that's the first thing out of the gate. You make it, you're going to have a plate of this, and then, you know what, we're going to have a grill plate that comes up later on. You tell a guest that when they're coming into something, they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we're going to drink for the next 2 hours all the wines that Bob has, and then mm-hmm. and then we're going to eat everything he's grilling.
Well, that's it. Like you say, stages, it's cool. You know, you start off with whatever you might want to call it, antipasta or whatever, and then you go into this food that you didn't have to pre-cook, really. You can just, you're cooking it to order. People are walking up to you and getting it. And that just kind of makes your whole prep time easier, too.
Well, it's all the garnishes and relishes mm-hmm. and whatnot that sauces
made,
that you've gotten done
right
ahead of time. That makes
and you
it
just
easy
knock
to entertain.
It out. Yeah, exactly.
When we come back on Formidable Phone Food and Wine, we'll get into a few more details on entertaining outside. Actually, talk about cooking outside and get into a few recipes that go along with that on Formidable Phone Food and Wine on WYPR.